Okay, hi everyone. Hi. Thank you very much for joining us. And hopefully this will be a really good session. We don't have a huge crowd so far, so we want to try and get as much information as we can. So let me briefly introduce myself. So my name is Paul Gavin, and I'm a training manager at HP, and my responsibilities are for training our technical and salespeople on the joint value proposition that HP and Microsoft have for virtualization and the private cloud. So I spend a lot of my time talking to our people in the field who are talking to people like you, and also talking to people like you and trying to figure out what you're trying to do with virtualization and private cloud, and what we can do to help you. So I'm going to be sharing my experiences of working with customers, and hopefully you'll relate to what we say, and we can build a dialogue, and together build a better solution for HP and Microsoft for private cloud. And Joe?
Hi, I'm Joe Sullivan. So I am an engineering manager for our Converged Systems group within HP. But don't worry, I've only been a manager for like 3 weeks, so I still have engineering credibility. Up to 3 weeks ago, I was the lead architect on our HP Cloud Solutions for Microsoft program, and what we're going to talk to in depth today, our HP Virtual System platform. So as Paul said, you know, we have a smaller audience, we've got people filtering in, which is good. However, you know, the smaller the audience, the more interactive you guys can be with us. So certainly, well, let's take questions. You know, Paul and I can stand up here and do slides all day. That's not that interesting for us. Probably not that interesting for you guys. So certainly, raise your hand. We'll take the conversations, and we'll, you know, if we're getting too sidetracked, we might kick it off and say, let's go down to the booth afterwards or whatever. But you know, but use this to your advantage when you have an opportunity to ask us questions about what we're doing. So with that, Paul, I'll let you kick it off.
So thank you, Joe. So we're excited to be working with Microsoft, and we will announce next week, a week after at the Worldwide Partner Conference, that HP has been announced as the Partner of the Year for Microsoft for virtualization and management. So Microsoft has recognized the stuff that we're doing to help promote and build market share with Microsoft in the private cloud. So we're really proud of that. So again, we're going to make this interactive, and again, Joe and I will share our experiences with customers. So let's talk about the agenda. What we're going to do at the beginning is we're going to talk at a fairly high level about the challenges for building a Microsoft private cloud. And again, I'm going to share experiences that I've had with working with customers who want to do this. And then we'll talk about what we're doing with Microsoft and a new announcement that we just made last week, in actual fact, about a virtual system for the Microsoft private cloud that we feel really strongly will help you build private clouds more quickly with Microsoft. And that will be the first section of the presentation. Then I'm going to hand over to Joe, and Joe's going to drill down into detail on the architecture and the way that we can help you implement a Microsoft private cloud on a virtual system. Then I'll come back and I'll talk about the services that we have for implementing a Microsoft private cloud, because we believe strongly that this is a complex process. I've been coming to Microsoft TechEd and Microsoft Management Summit for the last 3 or 4 years. And I think Microsoft are doing a better and better job of articulating the value proposition of a private cloud. But implementing a private cloud, we believe, is still a complex process. And if you want to embark in that process, you want to get the benefits of that process. You want to get the benefits of having a private cloud, having a self-service portal, having automation. And you don't want to be focused on the plumbing and the building of all the stuff that's there to support that. So I'm assuming, because you're here, you have a knowledge of HP hardware and you're IT specialists. We want to train you. We want to tell you how to do it. We want to help you build a private cloud. So the goal of this session will be to talk about the details of how we could do that. So as you're thinking and as you're listening to what we're saying, if you can relate to any of these issues and you have questions about how we might want to do it together, then please ask. So the world has changed. This is a great marketing slide, isn't it? Everyone puts up a slide like this. The world has changed. God damn it. We know the world has changed. And you know as much as I and Joe know how much the world has changed. But if you talk about it, and again, talking about people, most of the people that I talk to in IT are still running IT shops. They're handling support issues, they're monitoring performance, they're handling change orders, handling maintenance. And you guys are really busy just trying to handle what you have today, which may be older rack servers, it may be blade servers, it may be direct attached, it may be SAN. And you're being faced with issues like, okay, I'm now looking at, you know, from Microsoft storage spaces, I'm looking at virtual switches, I'm looking at VLANs, I'm trying to figure out what's the optimum way to get my networking capability built and to plug my storage in there. And I'm still trying to get those questions answered. And people are asking me about virtualization and infrastructure as a service. So people are saying, you know what, I'm losing people. I don't know if losing is the right word, but people are saying it, to a public cloud. Because people are using Dropbox or SkyDrive or something, or Amazon. And it's scary, because if you just look at, I don't know if anyone's found a guide who's running around somewhere trying to get away from the National Security Agency because he's telling people what to do. So people, public cloud in some ways is a scary thing. But as an IT department or CIO or VP of IT, you have to be able to build services so that IT services that you provide are as simple as going to Amazon or Microsoft Azure. You want to be able to build those services internally where people can go to a self-service portal and get those services. And as far as I'm concerned, that is an absolute quantum leap from where most people are today. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through this. So you've got virtualization, you've got IT as a service, and then you've also got BYOD, which is huge, and it's a security issue. It's something that's new, and it's something that, on top of virtualization, on top of infrastructure as a service, you have to deal with. We're not going to talk too much today about BYOD, because we're going to focus on getting from virtualization or getting from physical applications running on physical to virtual to IT as a service. And we're focusing our energies with Microsoft to build service capabilities and to build platforms that will allow you to focus on doing that. So that's the scope of what we're trying to cover, and it is a marketing slide. But I want to talk about it. I wanted to talk about it as a context for what you can get out of this presentation. And I'll use this slide, and so I talk a lot. I always talk. But I talk to customers about, where are you on this continuum? And people are consolidating. And people are virtualizing. And there's more and more of that happening. But I know very, very few customers who are automating. I'll give you an example. I was at TechEd in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago, and the guy came to me and he said, you know, he's using HP Cloud System Matrix. And with Cloud System Matrix, you can create IT as a service and you can advertise services. I said, well, wow, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm creating templates that are simple, like virtual machines. And if someone calls me up and says, can I deploy this template? I'll do it. But I'm not advertising it as a service. Well, I said, why? He said, because then I'd have to be able to build these into a cohesive thing that would provide this. Then I would have to have run big automation that would allow that to be deployed. And then I'd have to control securely this self-service portal. And I'm not ready to do that. I understand what those benefits would be, but I don't know how to get there. can you guys help me do that? And then if you look at, you go to some of the Microsoft keynotes today, they were talking about self-service application with full life cycle management. It looks great when you click a button and it's boom, all there. But getting there is not easy. And then you look at public and private and hybrid clouds. It adds another dimension. So most people I talk to are saying, oh my God, the lines of business are saying, cloud is great and cloud is wonderful. But how do I get there? What's my route to getting along that path? And quite frankly, I've got some ideas. One guy said to me, you know what, I don't even know how to design my servers and storage to get 10 gigabits out to my network because it's so complex. And I'm being asked to do this. And I'm sure you're all being asked about cloud and virtualization. The goal of this presentation is to tell you, well, Joe's going to tell you, not me. Joe's going to tell you how to get there with HP and Microsoft. And then when you leave here, you'll be able to do this easily. Well, that was a joke. So let's try and define what we mean by a private cloud, because we'll talk a lot about private cloud. And to me, if you don't have an agreed definition of a private cloud, you can't talk about implementing one. And this is a fairly broad definition, but it fits the Microsoft model and it fits the HP model. So there are really four attributes. It has to be service-driven. It's not presenting just a bunch of virtual machines. And if it's a service, you have to advertise a service and create a self-service portal. It has to be scalable and elastic. So it must expand out and it must contract. And that must be done automatically. And that requires runbook automation to do that scaling up and that scaling down. And ideally, it should have slow/chargeback capabilities that would allow you to manage it. In fact, one customer said to me last week, you know what, can we do that on an application basis? Because we would think about it on a virtual machine basis. This customer actually wanted to go and actually drill down to an application in a virtual machine. So those are the attributes. And we're now going to talk about the HP Converged Cloud. So at least when you leave this presentation, you'll understand what the HP Converged Cloud is and how that fits in a Microsoft environment. Because we can work with Microsoft to create a private cloud on-premise, a managed cloud, or a public cloud. So we're going to focus today on building that private cloud. And that's the focus that we'll take. But I just wanted to put that in a context. So why do you think we can do that? Why am I standing up here saying, listen to me? Well, we've been doing this for a while. In fact, in 2009, HP created the phrase converged infrastructure. Now, if you go to our competitors, they're talking about converged infrastructure. Why? Because that resonates with customers, and customers believe it and want to do it. So we started that. And then with Microsoft, we worked on appliances and virtual systems. So we introduced the first virtual system 2 years ago in 2011. And then we have our cloud system, an integration between Microsoft Private Cloud and HP Private Cloud. And recently we just announced the next generation of HP Converged systems. So it's a journey, and we've got a lot of experience, we believe, more than anyone else in the industry. So at a high level, and just to give you a context, we have this terminology called HP Converged Cloud from Microsoft. And there are two parts to it. On the right-hand side, we have this thing called HP Cloud System optimized for Microsoft. Now, HP has a solution called HP Cloud System Matrix. And many of our customers have decided that they want to use that as the base technology. If you as a customer has decided to use HP Cloud System Matrix, we have integrations with Microsoft to allow you to do that. But the focus of our presentation today is going to be, if you want to use HPE converged infrastructure with a Microsoft System Center private cloud stack, and that's your choice, and that's what you want to do, we believe we have the most integrated platform in the industry. And we call it HPE Cloud Solution for Microsoft. And that's the focus of what Joe's going to talk about. And we announced it last week. We call it VS3 for Microsoft. When Microsoft talk about the private cloud and they talk about hardware vendors, they talk about a Microsoft private cloud fast-track configuration that's highly available and defined and designed by Microsoft, and our HPE virtual system complies with that fast-track program. And it integrates with your existing environment. If you're using HPE Blade servers today, this will integrate. If you're using Microsoft System Center, this will integrate. And as you'll see when Joe drills down, it will accelerate your journey to the cloud and get you through that maturity model to get to private cloud. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Joe, who's been a manager for just 3 weeks, so he still knows all of his technical stuff.
Sort of. Thanks, Paul. It's sort of like we decided to treat this like a movie where you see the ending at the beginning, and now we revert back and kind of show you how we got there. So this is the net result of the solution we delivered and announced at Discover. And now I'm going to dive into some of the architecture and design details around why we did what we did, what is part of this solution, and how it allows you to develop and deliver a private cloud for Microsoft. Before I start down that path, does anyone have any questions on what we've chatted about so far? Is everyone cool, on the same page? We're good? John's good in the back? All right, great. So, when we looked at taking, you know, virtual systems been in the market for a few years, and we've had various different instantiations of the model. When we initially came out with virtual system, we had a VS1, VS2, VS3 designation, and we had different targets for each of those platforms. Some were rack-based, some were blade-based. There were different focuses in terms of enterprise versus a smaller mid-market SMB customer. And that got very complex to manage. It got very complex to explain to customers the deltas, and there was no growth path between them. So if you went with one solution that was rack-based, you had trouble going from that to maybe a blade-based as you grew and your requirements increased. So we wanted to address that. We also wanted to address the challenge that we had where, you know, we're trying to deliver a turnkey package solution. And for us to innovate on top of that, we need to know what that is. We need to know what those components are, and we need to control that, to do things like a support experience, to do things like firmware driver validation. We need to understand and have pretty rigid control over the components. We can't allow all the flexibility of all the pieces that exist in the portfolio. However, we know that there's obviously very unique customer requirements for each account that we talk to, and there needs to be a level of flexibility in the design model. So that was a key tenet for our design of VS3 as we evolved and matured the model. We wanted to give flexibility in terms of the number of blades, so you could grow from as low as 4 blades up to 64 blades in the same VS package. We wanted to give flexibility in amount of storage capacity and storage performance that you could design for, because we know that there's various different workloads that you want to run on this. Some are targeted for general purpose. Some are optimized for things like SQL consolidation. So within this model, we wanted to give that flexibility. We didn't want to have 10 different things and make you pick one of 10 choices to try to suit your needs. We wanted to address things like design and deployment flexibility. So we have single rack and multi-rack design footprints. And there's various reasons why we want to do that. HA by design is of course, ultra critical for enterprise, so this is sort of a no-brainer, but there's a couple points that we'll drill down into in terms of what that really means and the ramifications of that in a solution build. DR extensible. So, you know, everyone talks about DR. It's always in the first conversation you have, and that story changes by the time you get to the bill in terms of what you really mean by DR. So rather than trying to pick a midpoint, which isn't very easy to do in terms of the amount of RPO and RTO protection, recovery point objective, recovery time objective, that we want to build into the solution. We've designed the model so we can expand that out and add DR capabilities, both at the hardware infrastructure layer, and then be able to light up capabilities that exist within the Windows environment with Hyper-V replica and within application environments with things like SQL Server Always On or Exchange Database Availability Groups. And then, of course, you know, we design for virtualization. Well, no kidding, right? Not a big, you know, sort of light bulb that has to go off for that one. However, there are some important ramifications of the technologies that we chose that support virtualization environments. So we didn't just say, okay, here's our products, we want to build it and work back. We said, well, what workloads are we designing for? Why are we building this? What software stack makes sense? What hardware components make sense? So we sort of reversed our traditional design workflow and drove our design from the workload perspective down into the stack and into the converged infrastructure portfolio and worked the model that way. So before I sort of show what the flexibility is, it's important to introduce this concept. So the single rack, multi-rack design concept, because here's your one big pivot point in the environment. So the single rack is everything in one rack: compute, storage, networking, management infrastructure. One rack that allows you to have a fairly low footprint. You can get as small as 4 blades and 2 shelves of storage. So you can scale that down pretty significantly. It also allows you to expand and grow at rack levels. So a lot of people like to think at rack level within the data center. And they don't add servers anymore, they add racks. And in a lot of cases, we're going out to pods now. So it's following that model. On the flip side, or the alternative, is a multi-rack solution where we've decoupled compute and storage into separate racks. So we allow you to scale compute and storage independently. So we can scale up to 2 racks, 64 nodes for compute, and then we'll have far greater scalability of our storage when it's in a separate footprint. And that also allows us to comply with data center requirements if there's split row design where one row is all of compute, next row is storage, and things like that. So this is your first sort of pivot point where if you're in a single rack, you know, it's not trivial to then decouple into a multi-rack. There's obviously physical stuff, there's downtime there. So that's once you kind of pick which model you want to live in, then everything else sort of flows from there. Okay, so looking at the solution itself, I feel like I'm too high up on the stage. I'm coming down. Sorry, Paul. On the left, we have our single rack. So this solution scales within an enclosure 4 blades to 16 blades. And we have the capability to grow from 24 drives up to 240 drives in the space in the rack that you can utilize for that storage. We have a standard blade model that we use in this design. It's a BL460, so that's our Intel-based blade. We have options of processor and memory configurations. So we don't run the gamut of the 10 or 12 different processor choices that we offer with each server in every memory configuration. We've standardized on some pretty discrete sort of low power, high core, mid-range processor options. We have different memory capacities, 128, 256, 384. So some obvious incremental values for the blades. On the storage side, we're using our HP 3PAR 7000 series. So in the single rack, we support the 7200 and the 7400. So the 72 and 74 differ by a few different factors. One is the scalability. So 7200 is a maximum 5 shelf unit. So it's targeted at a smaller footprint. It's a 2 controller system. 7400 is a 4 controller system and allows you to scale up to a full rack of storage. Obviously, in the single rack, we bound it by what open rack space we have and balance that with the compute resources. But there's flexibility to choose depending on what your performance requirements and what your capacity requirements are. And we have pre-configured templates, so to speak, of storage where we really balance storage I/O and compute capacity in the solution and give recommendations of how we would configure the storage. But that's, again, a pivot point we allow people to flex depending on their workload mix and depending on what they want to run. Across all the solutions, we leverage HP Virtual Connect Flex Fabric. So this is a key technology in the virtualization space. What Virtual Connect Flex Fabric allows us to do is carve up our networks. So we can carve up 4 flex ports into up to 16 different NICs. We can set bandwidth on each of those networks accordingly. For a virtualization environment, there's a requirement for a significant amount of networks for different types of traffic. So you have management traffic, production traffic, CSV traffic, cluster shared volume, live migration traffic. You often might have a backup network. There's obviously out-of-band traffic. There's storage traffic. So there's a lot of requirements for network, and they all have various different bandwidth requirements. So obviously production and storage are going to require more bandwidth than your management network. So Virtual Connect allows us to carve that up and optimize how we assign bandwidth and how we create those networks in this environment. And 3PAR obviously allows us to do a lot of really interesting things in a virtualized environment as well. We have really compelling thin provisioning capability, and especially where you have a lot of VMs that share sort of a common VHD footprint, there's a lot of duplication in the data that we can kind of maximize and optimize around and really reduce capacity requirements in that storage fabric. And then technologies that we've integrated with Windows, such as SMIS capability to automate array provisioning, ODX, so we can do VHD transfers within the array without having to go through the host, so it's high performance transfers of large VHD files, capabilities like that we've baked into the array to really optimize for this type of environment. At the top of the rack, we have our HP networking components. So we have several 5000 series switches. We have 5920, which is our 10 gig fabric. And we have a 5120 for 1 gig. So 10 gig gives us our production traffic. You know, 1 gig gives us all the inner rack management traffic. We IRF, so we use IRF as Intelligent Resilient Frameworks capability within our networking switches to effectively pool those switches together is one virtual switch, so we manage it as one virtual switch. One of the big benefits here is when we move out into the multi-rack environment, if we scale to multiple compute node racks, we can hook those network switches together, and they'll automatically get the configuration that's on the first racks pushed out to the second rack. So it's easy to grow. The networking is consistent across the racks, and all of the bridge groups and aggregation groups that have been created on the first rack get pushed down on the second rack. So talking about multi-rack, so the scale units are different. So obviously in a single rack, we're bound by a single enclosure and that scaling point. For multi-rack, we allow you to go to 2 compute racks so we can get to 64 blades. We can fill up an entire 7400, so it's up to 480 drives. We do allow a mix of different tiers of drives. So 3PAR allows you to do multiple different types of drive classes in the array and has capabilities to do autonomic tiering at a sublun level. So it'll move data at a sublun level as it detects hotspots, and there's a policy-driven movement. So things like if you have a SQL database and in that database only a portion of the data is actually accessed very frequently, that'll get bumped up to an SSD tier and handled in that part of the array, and then the rest will stay in your SAS tier. So optimizes performance there. And we have the flexibility in the model to design around different types of tiering. And in this case, we only leverage the 7400 as the main array platform. And then going out here to the right, we allow you to scale out to the P10000. So in full disclosure, this is coming in a little bit. This is near term. We announced these first two in June as available, and we're adding P10000 support here pretty quickly. And the biggest delta there is the P10000 is a lot larger array. We can scale to a lot larger drive capacity. I think it's up to like 1,900 drives or something like that. Has more controllers, more host ports, so it's a higher performing array. So again, depending on our workloads, depending on how far out we're going to grow the environment, we'll dictate which storage array that you kind of start at. Any questions on configuration details at a converged infrastructure level? So we're kind of going to start with the, like I said, it's sort of a movie. We'll work backwards. So we got our hardware. We're going to work up the stack and then sort of bring it all together. So as you go, if there are any questions here, certainly feel free to holler out. So sizing. These always scare me, these type of slides, because there's, you know, 100 caveats that need to go around some of this type of stuff. But what I thought was worth sharing is some of the modeling and performance testing that we've done to give a baseline of how we think the platform can be utilized. So first caveat, this is based on a VM model of 4 gigs per VM, an oversubscription of 4 virtual CPUs to 1 physical CPU, and an IOPS at about 30 to 50, you know, sort of SQL 60-40, 8K small block random. So we used that one VM, and that's how we based our model. When you get to a more mature sizing discussion, not one customer is ever going to have just one VM profile, as you guys are all surely aware, I'm positive. So there's going to be 2 or 3 different sizing profiles, and depending on if you're running a lot of SQL or running a lot of high-performing workloads, it's going to change the patterns quite a bit. But this gives you somewhere to start, back of the napkin sort of footprint to think about. So within the single rack scaling, you know, we think, you know, from a 256 to 1,000 VMs is basically your range, and that's going to be dependent on as you scale out from 4 blades to 16. That obviously increases the number of cores, the total amount of memory in the rack, and then the amount of storage. So all these values here, the IOPS per VM, are all calculated just using sort of the enterprise SAS level storage. So that's not calculated using an SSD tier, and certainly not calculated using a nearline tier. And I wouldn't recommend, as you're doing sizing, to size nearline in terms of the number of VMs. That nearline is for specific use cases, but wouldn't necessarily factor into how many VMs you could run. So as we look at the multi-rack, you know, here the scaling is a lot significant. So we have some overlap at the high end of the single and the low end of the multi. So again, if you think you're going to grow, starting at a smaller multi, because you can start as small as 8 blades, and then allowing you the capacity within a compute and storage rack to grow is the way to do it. And as we grow out, so this is showing the max side of a 7400. And you know, you can see the one, you know, triple star here, which talks about, you know, if we want to get to our standard VM IOPS profile in a situation where we have 4,000 VMs running, we would need a layer of SSD to provide that. So it's just kind of highlighting that there's some sizing input and parameters required there. So high availability in design, of course, that's always critical. It does have an impact, though. So, you know, for example, one of the things that we wanted to design around was N plus N power. So we wanted to design around having 2 data feeds coming in, being able to lose an entire side of the rack and still fully power and fully operate the environment. And this has ramifications because you have to size the PDUs, obviously, to handle 2x the load. You have to make sure everything is fault-tolerant from a power perspective. It gets tricky when you talk about switches and some of those infrastructure components. But we thought that that was an important enough component to build and bake into the solution. We also design it so everything's scalable up. So redundancy is built in from the power perspective up front. And we've kind of modeled different geos, single phase, 3-phase for different power draw and requirements. And then moving up the stack or up the rack, I guess, from a hardware perspective. So certainly everything from a networking layer is redundant. So we have redundancy in our switch environment. We have IRF capability to provide that virtual switch perspective. We have redundancy at a virtual connect layer, and I'll talk a little bit about how we're leveraging virtual connect in this infrastructure here in a moment. At a storage fabric layer, our 3-par array is certainly, you know, multi-controller. We've got multiple SAN domains and zoning and all of that. And then as we move up into the host environment, we've got Windows failover clustering providing availability at the host level. So from a networking perspective, this gives a view of, you know, logical view of each blade and how each blade maps out to the virtual machines that might run on that blade. So we have four flex ports. We have the two onboard mezzanine ports for each blade, and we have a mezzanine card in the first slot of the PCI expansion capability of each blade. So each of these ports can run at 10 gig. And as I mentioned earlier, we can carve up each of those ports into four different FlexNICs. So what we've done is we've created eight FlexNICs. So we have, we'll go up the stack here, two FlexNICs here for management that are then teamed up at the operating system level. We have, the lines are drawn funny here. So two production FlexNICs that are teamed at the operating system level. We have a CSV NIC, a live migration NIC, and then we have two fiber channel NICs. So within Virtual Connect Flex Fabric, it's not just about Ethernet, it's also about fiber channel. So we do FCOE from the back of the enclosure down to the blade. So we can provide fiber channel capabilities on these same cards. And then present those out with Windows 2012 as virtual fiber channel switches at the OS level. So now we can, you know, present out storage directly into each VM, which was a big deal in the past because to do failover clustering between two guest VMs, we needed iSCSI-based storage. So if you look back at our VS models in the past, those were all iSCSI. Now that's not necessarily a requirement. In a three-power environment, we can do either iSCSI or fiber channel. In this design, we've done fiber channel, but at least without that restriction, we now have the option to do whatever fabric protocol we want to leverage. And then, you know, obviously these teamed instances get a Hyper-V switch associated with them, and then the actual virtual NICs get presented out to the VMs. So certainly redundant across the board, and if we look at, you know, at a drill-down level into Virtual Connect, you know, I wanted to show this level of detail because I think it shows a couple interesting things about how we can optimize for this kind of environment. One, it allows us to create all of our networks here, so we can see our network names, and it allows us to set specific bandwidth requirements for those. So we've set 8 gig for production, we have 8 gig for fiber channel, and then we've allocated the remainder to CSV, live migration, and management. And if we drill in here, if we had a little mouse click, we could click in there. And you can see this is called multiple networks. So this allows us to do, to set all of the networks that would be passed from the customer's upstream switch down into the virtual system. And we add in whatever VLANs we need to pass through. We can operate in two different modes. We can operate in tunnel mode or map mode. In tunnel mode, passes everything through, everything's handled at the host level, and Windows would do any VLAN operations. Mapped mode terminates the connection at the Virtual Connect environment, and then retags with the appropriate VLAN tag passing into the host. So the host has to understand what VLAN is coming in over that network. So in that case, which is how we build this out, the virtual machine, as you create your virtual NICs, inside your virtual machine profile, you would define what VLAN you wanted that VNIC to be on. So that way, you know, you can run as many VLANs as you need into your virtual system environment, still have your segmentation of network traffic. So DR, and I talked about our design model for DR and how we wanted to build our disaster recovery solution. So I come from the database consolidation reference architecture world, and we did a lot of work there where we took what effectively was a SQL Server private cloud, and we positioned it as such, and we talked to different customers about, you know, building out this private cloud infrastructure for their SQL environment and what we did to optimize for that type of workload, which is much different than just your general purpose workloads. And inevitably, in every conversation, they would ask about DR and what our DR capabilities are, and they'd say, well, you know, you guys got this technology that you can do geoclustering, you know, have you baked that in? And we'd say, well, no, because if we baked that in and we came to you and said, hey, we got this great $10 million solution, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And for us, a segment of the customer base, that's what they want to go do, that they have a business case and a use case for that level of DR. for the majority of customers we talked to, it was, yeah, I guess, you know, 30 to 40% of the stuff I'm going to run here is test and dev. That certainly doesn't need to burden the cost of my entire environment to replicate that. But there's a good chunk of VMs that I need to have fully DR enabled. And we'd sort of talk down the solution path. And that's what we did here. So we didn't want to bake anything in to our core design, because then that just changes the discussion and the price point right off the bat. And frankly, that's often what would happen in those conversations. But we've allowed, from a technology perspective, the capabilities to extend this core platform and enable that. So with 3PAR, we can do things like cluster extensions for Windows, where we have clusters running across two data centers, and we can fail over and automate failover, failback of the virtual machines running in the environment. We can do sort of standard snapshot replication to a disaster site. And we can work up the stack and leverage the Windows capabilities for things like Hyper-V replica, or like I said, at an application tier, things like SQL Server Always On or Exchange Database Availability Groups. So we've kind of given a little bit of flexibility to expand the model, but not bake that in as a core, a tenant of what we're doing. So that's sort of the architecture from a hardware perspective. That's a piece of the puzzle. Certainly, as we talk about private cloud, that's not the whole pie, right? There's a big portion that we have to talk about from a management perspective that's really critical in this case. So we kind of started with that as our base tenant from our design perspective. We modeled our converged infrastructure solution around that, and then sort of worked our way up the stack and said, okay, let's talk about, from a management perspective, what does this all mean? So there are a few different components that are part of a virtual system solution, right? There is the operating system, so it's Windows 2012 data center. It's data center, of course, because we need unlimited capacity to run virtual machines on our environment. It's System Center 2012 SP1. From a management infrastructure perspective, so when we're talking about private cloud for Microsoft here, we're talking about SQL Server 2012 being the management infrastructure driving that private cloud. We also have baked in our insight control for System Center components. So this is software that gives us a rich integration between the System Center environment and our HP Converged infrastructure. So we have views inside of Operations Manager, inside of Virtual Machine Manager, of how the devices are operating, if there's alerts, if there's events. And we can click in and we can drill into that level of detail from the System Center management infrastructure. So rather than having to hop around to two to three, four different places, we can control and monitor from a single pane, single area of the management environment. From a 3PAR perspective, there's sort of default software elements that are part of that to enable the base storage capability. And here again is where we've designed the model to be extensible, and as additional components are required, we can layer them on, but we're not baking those into the core solution. So, you know, if we are doing something with DR, you know, there's replication technology. If we want to do adaptive optimization, if we have SSD tier and a SAS tier and a nearline tier, you know, or some subset combination of those, then we might want to add adaptive optimization to do the sublon tiering of the data. And then there's security suites and reporting suites and even specific application suites for Exchange and SQL for integration with backup and recovery. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that we can extend the capabilities of the platform around. And then I think the final key thing, and this is ties back to some of the initial commentary around understanding what we're building and having a package around that and having an envelope around what we're building. So what we do at an engineering level is we'll validate firmware and driver sets for the virtual system environment. So HP releases Service Pack for ProLiant releases every quarter or so. And a majority of the components of the VS3 environment are handled within that Service Pack for ProLiant package. But there are things, you know, the network drivers, the storage drivers, things for IPDU, firmware. There are pieces of that that aren't part of that core package. And so what we do is we take that package and we take the other components and we build out a full matrix of, you know, here's the validated firmware driver set for this infrastructure. This is what we've tested. This is what we recommend. And so to do that, we need to know what the components are. And that's a big driver for that envelope. So from a management perspective, on the clustering, on the management side, we have a two-node cluster in the infrastructure with capability to grow up to four nodes as we move to multiple compute racks. As the number of resources grow, there may be a requirement for additional CPU resources and additional management nodes to manage those VMs. But at a base level, there's two DL360s in the infrastructure. They have 256 gig of RAM. You know, there are two 8-core processors, fiber channel network connectivity into the fabric in the virtual system. And they're running this set of virtual machines. So Paul talked about the Fast Track program for Microsoft. There's very prescriptive guidance on what the management environment looks like, what it needs to consist of, what components need to be running, what services need to be offered. And often those services tie directly back to a feature or functionality within System Center 2012 suite. So we've worked with Microsoft, and we've just gone through validation of this a couple weeks ago to get the certification label. But we've worked with them to define the layout and configuration of this management infrastructure. So you have a SQL Server 2012 failover cluster. So there's two VMs that runs the databases for the majority of the System Center environment. We're leveraging Virtual Machine Manager, Ops Manager, Service Manager, Orchestrator, and App Controller are the core System Center components we're deploying. So for those that aren't familiar, you know, Virtual Machine Manager is sort of your core private cloud management infrastructure, right? That's where you go and deploy VMs, you create service templates, and the like. And if you look back at how Virtual Machine Manager's evolved, it really has moved from management of VMs to management of that cloud infrastructure. So that's sort of your go-to point for that view of it. Ops Manager is consistently what Ops Manager has been, and that's where you go for your monitoring of your environment, your alerts, your events, the threshold breaching of performance of your SQL servers. You can see the view of the Insight Control System Center management agents from the HP hardware. So we can see if there's bad disks or if, you know, there's a network down on a blade and things like that. That all funnels up there. Service Manager is where we start getting really interesting. Right, so Service Manager is sort of the Pandora's box into the cloud, right? This is where you could spend a lot of time developing very custom services, integration into some of the things that, you know, Paul was talking about that are sort of the day-to-day tasks, so change management, support, ticketing, eventing, all the stuff that's part of provisioning new workloads. Service Manager can start tying those operations together, leveraging Orchestrator as the workflow engine under the covers, and start allowing you to develop really rich service provisioning. And then grab chargeback data and start doing costing models around that. So that is going to be sort of the area that you're going to want, if you haven't started thinking about or playing with, where you can really start deriving a lot of value out of the infrastructure. We have App Controller, which gives us our sort of base portal. So App Controller will expose service templates that we create in Virtual Machine Manager. And that's sort of your, you know, day one, you're going to be an app controller. And that's where you're going to live. But ultimately, you're going to want to be here. You're going to want to move to Service Manager as your Uber portal management for where you drive service delivery and service workflows. One of the things that's nice about App Controller, though, is it does tie in different disparate private cloud or public cloud infrastructure. So the App Controller is your interface to get into Azure, so you can have service template views of not only what's running in your VS3 locally on-premise, but also service templates that you may have up in Azure. And so App Controller will consolidate that view and give you that sort of central integration point for that. And then there's, you know, a number of additional VMs that, you know, like I said, there's some base three-part management stuff. If we add additional capabilities, there potentially would be virtual machines and things like that. But your core stack is this with the quantities here for sort of fully HA-enabled management framework. And this will scale pretty significantly. So if you're at the lower end, this is going to be pretty overkill for, you know, 20 VMs. But this will scale up to a couple thousand VMs pretty easily and give you, you know, the management infrastructure in place to do things like, you know, reporting services and data warehousing capabilities around what data you capture in Ops Manager and things like that. So Insight Control for System Center. So I talked a little bit about this, and this is, you know, sort of really valuable piece of software that HP develops to integrate into the System Center environment. We are talking a lot about it. We have a booth down at the trade show. So anyone that's more interested in getting further detail here, certainly recommend you go down there. They're right next to our HP Cloud solution for Microsoft booth. So it's obviously a lot of reason we're right next to each other. They're really tightly integrated. And this is where we see a lot of value in bringing the HP converged infrastructure, alerting, eventing, information, capabilities to do automation of the storage, capabilities to automate, you know, fully provisioning the cluster from Virtual Machine Manager. A lot of those capabilities we can derive by the Insight Control for System Center Management framework. If we look at some of the key capabilities, you know, where we're leveraging it in VS3 is primarily within Virtual Machine Manager and Ops Manager. One point of note from the previous slide, there are System Center components that are part of the 2012 suite that we're not deploying as native components in this environment. So things like Config Manager, Data Protection Manager, Endpoint Protection, there's other components in that software package. What we find with those are the most customizable and the most specific to each customer's infrastructure. And a lot of times customers have existing data backup strategies in place so that while you're licensed and own that, you know, and certainly you're more than welcome to go install and use that, we don't package it in. And so there's a lot of things like with Config Manager, firmware driver packages, OS deployment packages that have drivers built in for the blades. There's a lot of those things we're not exposing or leveraging it as part of the Insight Control for System Center environment either. But what we do leverage a lot of is the integration ops manager, so the drill down of, hey, I have a blade enclosure, I can click on my blade, I can see my blade, I can click on the subcomponents of that blade, and I can see what's happening with the network, the memory, if there's errors and alerts, and then I get that information from a graphical view. What's new with our Insight Control 7.3 release that we announced 2 weeks ago is support for that same capability within Virtual Connect. So now we can drill into Virtual Connect, and we can see all of the networks that we've exposed down to the vSwitch level. And we'll show a screen of what this looks like. But we can see the same type of error eventing and alerting as well up into Ops Manager for Virtual Connect components. In the past, prior to 7.3, we could see just the top-level VC, but we couldn't drill down in and see the details of Virtual Connect inside Ops Manager or inside Virtual Machine Manager. So if look at VMM for a second, so one of the key capabilities with VMM and integration with the 3PAR is SMIS capabilities to automate storage provisioning. So here we can go out and we can create PowerShell scripts, either driven from VMM as part of a workflow that Orchestrator is running, or from Windows 2012 at a base OS level, and do the provisioning of our storage environment. And that's what we do as part of the service that we have for building this out. We have a number of PowerShell scripts that fully provision all the storage required for the infrastructure and allows us to tie in. And we use VMM to, from a bare metal perspective, communicate with the BMC, the ILO card on the blade, and push out the host cluster and do the host cluster installation in an automated fashion. So this saves obviously a lot of manual steps, a lot of complexity, and a lot of potential places for errors to occur. So if we look at the Virtual Connect management pack again here, so there's two elements. There's what we see in Ops Manager, and there's what we see in VMM. So from an Ops Manager perspective, it's the alerting, the eventing. We can drill in and see what's going on, and that's all great. I think the more interesting one is, from a VMM perspective, we can drill in and we get a fabric view. So there's an HP Fabric Management plugin to the VMM console, where we can now drill in and we can go into our blade enclosure, into our blades, and we can get a fabric diagram view of that blade. So I showed you the Virtual Connect profile earlier. That would effectively map to this. So we would see what LOMs exist on the blade, what bandwidth they're running, where they flow out into what I/O module on the back of the enclosure, and then actually where they go up to from an external switch perspective. So we can discover that next tier of access switch layers. And then working back, we see in a blade, you know, where we're leveraging that network. So what vSwitch was created using that network. So this level of visibility, especially in a Virtual Connect environment where you might have, you know, you only have a couple vSwitches, but you might have a lot of VMs running, and you want to see what VLANs they're running on, what vSwitches they're leveraging, and be able to detect, you know, that all of your NICs are operating at the right bandwidth and things like that. So this is a pretty, you know, key capability in terms of integrating the management down into a very deep level. And you know, for Virtual Connect, from an OA perspective, with the storage management pack, we have the same level of integration up into Ops Manager for the storage fabric, so we can see storage level alerting and reporting. So again, consolidating all into that centralized environment is a key element of the software stack and delivering value in that software stack together. So, you know, we've talked about the hardware and the software. So from the perspective of sort of tying back full circle here, you know, one of the things that we were keen on is making sure we were FastTrack compliant. So with this, we're sort of going out the door as FastTrack private cloud for Microsoft. With what we talked about today, the flexibility of single and multi-rack, built on our converged infrastructure components, built with Windows and System Center 2012, integrated with Insight Control for System Center, and then there's this key element here. So this, we have a deployment acceleration service which takes this and goes the final mile to actually build out the System Center environment and integrate it into the customer's network. So in the past, we've had a couple different models with this. And what happens is, you know, everyone wants something slightly different. So, you know, we've gone in the past of just building out to, you know, here and saying, okay, you guys are on your own, get your Windows and System Center environment set up and good luck. And then everyone comes back and says, okay, where's that document? And we say, what document? Right? So there's no document you can create that covers every customer scenario. If we tried, you know, minimally you're starting at a 500-page guide and you're going from there when you get through all of the pieces from the hardware setup to the software setup. And you know, that's not trivial to write. There's going to be a lot of complexity to read and implement it and that. So we've developed a service around here which allows us to take this and deliver it as a full turnkey. Here's the keys to the car. Now you can go use it. Now you can go start creating service templates. Now you can start using Service Manager to provision new workflows and to integrate into your existing change management database or ticketing system. And you can start doing the things that are customized for your environment. Rather than focusing on building the hardware, validating the hardware, testing it out, understanding performance, building the management stack, calling everyone to make sure you've built it right, you've used the right components, you've set everything up, you've got teaming, clustering, all of that stuff that's not trivially under the covers we're trying to take care of here. And let you guys do the valuable stuff that's going to impact your business. And that's really what it comes down to. Building the core is a key enablement piece. You need that IaaS level, that infrastructure as a service level, to be able to deliver workflows, to be able to set up chargeback to your BUs and set up service templates. That's the value. The value isn't being able to build this out. You know, that's just core functionality you need to have or you need to work with HP and Microsoft to do. And you know, the proof is in the pudding a little bit, right? So back at MMS in April at Microsoft's Management Summit in Las Vegas, we ran a VS3 platform. So this is our VS3 with the P10,000 support that's coming. And this ran all of the hands-on labs for the event. So a pretty significant impact if this didn't perform or operate as expected at the show. People tend to not be that happy if hands-on labs aren't accessible or if they're slow performing. I think actually people would rather them not be accessible than slow performing. That tends to be a worse complaint. So over the, you know, we can see some of the stats here. You know, over the 4 days, 16,000 sessions. You know, this one's the key one, right? We needed to be able to spin up very rapidly a lot of VMs in a very short time. So as labs ended and new labs started, you'd have this big wave of people that would come in. They kick off all these new labs. So this thing had to be able to spin those up very rapidly. So I think during peak usage in the show, we were running at like 15% CPU with barely touching the storage. So this thing was screaming and obviously, you know, over-provisioned for the purposes of supporting the event without any impact and performance degradation. But it just shows you sort of the capability at a high end of where you can really grow this out to and what you can do with this type of environment. So that kind of wraps the hardware-software packaging up a little bit. And turn it back to Paul. Paul's going to talk a little bit about how we take this, and I alluded to the point about sort of delivering the solution. So not just say, here's your rack of hardware, here's your, you know, the things wired up, good luck, have fun. We wanted to deliver a more value service, a more value solution to the customer around this VS platform. And so Paul will talk a little bit about some of that and what we've done in that space.
Here you go, Paul. Okay. Thank you, Joel. Really good presentation and overview. And I think I said at the beginning that this is complex. And I think Joe explained this. I to tell you a story, I had a team working with me, and we built the previous generation of these. We built about 10 of these things for customers for Microsoft Technology Centers. And I tell you what, the technology skills that you need are server, storage, networking, and Windows and System Center. And those skills don't exist in very, very many individuals. You need a team. You need a team of people who are going to build that. And that's what we've tried to do here, is to simplify this part. The next part I want to talk about here is our consulting and support. The consulting part is about when we build this in the factory and we ship it out to you, what's left to be done? Well, when you buy a Microsoft environment, you have to set this up in your environment, and that means it has to be integrated into your Active Directory, and it has to be configured in that environment. So in the factory, we build it, we build all the hardware, we verify all the hardware, and then when it comes onto your site, we go that last mile with you. We take it, and our consulting services will actually build it for you and get all of your IP addresses, all of your Active directory information, and set up the final information in the System Center databases, and set up the highly available cluster, and start installing the System Center components and deploying virtual machines for you. And that's that last mile. And I'll talk a little bit about what that does. But so we're, and then I'll talk about the support. Because when you build this thing and you've got it built, when you call for support, if any of you are HP customers right now, you know you call for support, and is it a server problem, or is it a storage problem, or is it a networking problem? And that support person is not aware that you've bought this solution, this package. We've designed our support now where if you call our 800 number and you quote your support contract number, that person knows that this is a virtual system solution. And that call will be redirected to folks who are trained in this. So we make the installation simpler, and they make the support simpler. And we believe that based on the fact we build it, it's verified, it's compliant, and based on the fact that we install it and we support it differently, makes this absolutely unique from one company. There's just one call you have to make, and we can fix it for you. So we do this. We do this thing called Factory Express, and the way that Factory Express works is that we build these things in our factory, and we configure them, and then we ship them on site, and everything plugs together. So, for example, the Virtual Connect modules are configured. You plug in your network cables, you plug in your fiber channel over Ethernet, and you plug in your storage. And when we've done that, it's up and running. I'll give you an example. We installed four of these in Microsoft Technology Centers in North America. And before, it used to take us about a month to get those things up and running, because the networking guys would be there and the storage guys, and all these people would come in. And it was like a committee and a group. We had these up and running in a week in the Microsoft Technology Centers, because we'd done all the pre-configuration, and we got the team together, and we built it. So we have a new... It used to be that we built these, and it was one fixed configuration. Now, as Joe described, you could have four blade servers, six, seven, eight blade servers, and you could have different amount of memory in each blade servers. Not every single combination, obviously, but combinations that will allow you to buy the right thing that you want for your environment and have it pre-configured. So we can do it. We have a sizing tool. And the sizing tool will actually spit out the correct configuration of this. It will read, if you're using map tool from Microsoft, it will read your map sizing data and come out and tell you what you should buy. So this, we believe, we learned a lot from the first iteration that we had to be more flexible. And we've created a lot more flexibility, and we hope that will help you. So again, when we do this, we have this accelerator service that's part of the solution. And let me tell you what we've done to make this simple. Guess what? We've built one of these things. And our technology consultants have actually built PowerShell scripts that will actually do a lot of this stuff automatically for you. It configures the virtual connect. It configures the storage. So when they come on site, they're not going, duh. Well, they might do duh. But they're coming on site, and they have these scripts, and they'll say, like, for example, the input to the script would be, what's your IP address range? Are you using dynamic? Are you using static IP? What are your LUNs? And it will go and set up all of this stuff for you. The clustering, the virtual machine manager, the operations manager. So we're working closely with Microsoft as well, because as all of you know, System Center, especially Self-Service Manager, is really new. And there's a lack of skills out there. We're working with Microsoft closely to train our folks, our people, so they have these skills. And they're relying on us and our consulting organization. And we'll do all that for you, and we'll give you a handover document. And at that point, you should be building templates. You should be building fabrics and using App Controller to deploy applications. And you should be focusing on getting those application templates built. And you should be focused on getting connectivity with Azure so that you're up and running much, much more quickly. We believe that this is an absolutely unique differentiator. And you know, we're talking about the end solution here, but we can actually help you try to look at your current environment and decide what would be the best way to implement infrastructure as a service. How would you define infrastructure as a service? Would that be how many virtual machines? Would that be also deploying SQL Server? Would that be we going to platform as a service? So we can help you with that. And then come in and build the model that you need to do that. So that's the consulting side. And the support side, I think, is really, again, where we think we can excel. It's not multiple vendors trying to support you. We have capabilities in Microsoft. So if it's a software error, we can help you with Microsoft. If it's storage error, we own the storage. If it's a networking error, we own the network switches. If it's a server error, we own the server. And if it's an integration point between System Center and Insight Control, we own that as well. So we believe that we've looked at the support model. And you know, you can tell when Joe's talking, Joe's working at it from an engineering level, but that whole team has been tightly integrated with our consulting group to try and model the right experience for you to simplify what it is you're doing and get you up to speed quickly. So again, we have consulting services, and we have multiple levels of support. We can provide you with different levels of support that will allow you to get the right level of support that you need to manage this private cloud. And again, we're kind of running out of time here, so I won't go through these completely. But there is a whole bunch of services that we can help, from you know, mission critical support through ITIL best practices to designing this private cloud for you. And we have lots of people who are doing that. So what we're doing right now is we're investing heavily with Microsoft. We've done it before with Microsoft. We've been experts in Exchange and in Windows and in desktop. And we aim to be Microsoft's premier partner in the private cloud. And again, we're investing in centers of excellence and training our people in the latest Microsoft technologies. So I would say that if you're thinking about a Microsoft private cloud, and when you leave here and you go back to your senior management and you say, well, I went to Microsoft Tech Ed, and hopefully you don't say, I went to Microsoft Tech Ed and we're never going to do that. Hopefully you say, we went to Microsoft Tech Ed and we think there's tremendous value in doing this. And if that's how you feel and you wanted to take the next step, we'd be more than happy to talk to you, to tell you how we've built it, to tell you how we can help you implement it. We talked about Microsoft Management Summit, about the hands-on labs. We talked about how we built that. We've got a lot of expertise with both System Center and the HP infrastructure. And again, we can help. So in conclusion here, HP has a wide range of products in the converged cloud, but we have a very, very special focus on building Microsoft private clouds. All of the people in our booth today are, in the virtualization section, there's Joe and there's about four or five of us who are all, relatively speaking, domain experts in this field. And Joe talked about insight control for System Center. Well, if any of you are interested, then and you like the sound of my voice, I know I do. But if any of you are interested, then I'll be running a session on the integration between Insight Control and System Center that we'll drill into in much more detailed level. And I think that's running at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. So with that, we've just about run out of time, but we have a couple of minutes if anyone has any questions. And Joe and I will be here after this to answer questions. But thank you all for staying and listening. And hopefully this information will be valuable to you when you go back into your offices next week. Any questions?
And just to re-highlight, so Paul and I will be on the booth all week too, so if there's other questions that you guys come up with, certainly feel free to stop by. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no.
Repeat the question.
So the question was, HP has a wide portfolio of products in the cloud. What is the HP strategy in terms of what we're delivering? And I would say that HP has a cloud strategy, and you can look at it in three ways. If a customer decides to pick HP as the primary cloud vendor with Cloud System Matrix, we will do that, and we will integrate Microsoft. If you come to our booth, we have details on our cloud system optimized for Microsoft. But if a customer says, you know what, I want to implement a Microsoft private cloud, and I want to use Microsoft technologies to do that, we, and that customer has made that decision, we want to be the best infrastructure player with Microsoft. So we're saying, no matter what choice you make, and it really is customer choice, we can give you options. We are leading with our cloud system matrix. And if you want to integrate Microsoft into that, we can help you, and we can tell you how to do that. But if you decide, you know what, I love Microsoft, and I'm trying to pick how well HP are you integrated with Microsoft, because I'm going to use those Microsoft tools. The focus of this presentation is to tell you how well we are integrated if you decide to make that decision. It's your choice, and we will work with you in whichever way you want to do it. We don't want to force one solution into your environment. Does that answer your question? More. The answer was more or less. So, any other questions? Okay, thanks everyone, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you.